He came unto his own, but his own received him not. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Let us pray.
O Lord, grant to us, teacher and student alike, the judgment to know that which is worth knowing, and the ability to do that which is well-pleasing to Thee. Give us the courage and patience needed to face the problems of our time. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Because today is Furman Day on our campus, we have invited Dr. Joseph Madison King, who is now professor at Furman University, to speak with you this day. I think it speaks well of any man who has spent 14 years at an institution like Furman, and like many other of our own colleges, who deals with young people in their decisions and in their critical times of their lives. He tries to help them understand themselves and understand their relationship with God. And in a classroom setting, Dr. Joe King has distinguished himself. He is a graduate of Louisiana Tech, of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and received the Ph.D. from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. King just recently, in fact in 1964, published a book entitled A History of South Carolina Baptist, which he feels is the end of a great deal of work for him. It may be an end of work in compiling this book, but I know it's the beginning of this year and many other years of good teaching and of quality education that counts in a classroom. And so, Dr. King, we look forward with pleasure and with honor today to have you with us.
It is indeed a joy for me to come to this place, again to be able to see so many of my former students and friends of many years, to bring to you greetings in this community of learning from our campus at Furman. I appreciate very much this opportunity to be here today. In between Thanksgiving and the glory that is Christmas, we have this rather busy, frantic time, and yet I think they are rather warm, tender days as well. It is in an effort to speak in keeping with the spirit of these days that I have selected a passage from the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, throughout the whole world, This also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I have always been impressed with this commendation of the woman by Jesus. In the midst of the other teachings of this passage of Scripture, and surely preeminent among them would be this, that certainly all human values cannot be measured in dollars and cents. Also to see Jesus' very splendid example of gratitude. Gratitude, one of the truly beautiful words in the English language. Try to live without gratitude and dry up as a person. Cicero called gratitude the mother of virtues. Seneca insisted that without it one could neither be sociable nor religious. Briefly this morning, I would that we might have two considerations on gratitude. First, a life of gratitude is a life of constant blessing to others. That is, one deals with others apart from promiscuous criticism. He tempers his criticisms with benevolent concern, realizing always that the adverse critic does not live on the highest, the most creative level. I have a deep concern about this, as I suspect you do, with regard to the ministry. It's so easy, if we aren't careful, to find so many little petty things to criticize in each other, or for that matter, for the minister to criticize the layman in the same way. Wouldn't it be so much better if again and again we could remind ourselves, here we march together under Christ as our Lord, our leader. Here we are trying to push back horizons of darkness. We are trying to do a good work together in His name. One is grateful for friendship, and so he speaks the truth in love, tenderly and with tact. A minister once had a funeral service for a man in his church who had given him a great deal of difficulty. The man is either anonymous or apocryphal. He was trying to figure out what he would say. Could there be at least one good thing that he could say about this man? Finally, almost automatically, he said, without really much thought, that the man wasn't always as difficult as he was sometimes. As Kierkegaard has said, some suffer through to truth, and others are simply professors of the facts that these have suffered. Sometimes they are carping critics. Surely the great men of history have lived in gratitude. They have not been preeminently critics of the lives of others. Douglas Southall Freeman spent so many years of his life studying Southern history and writing it. And of course, so many of these years were spent concerned with the figure of Robert E. Lee. About 10 years he spent writing a biography of Lee. Someone was speaking to him about this and wondering about the great effort that he had put into it. He said something like this by way of response. Really, it has been a tremendous privilege to live for a decade with such a great gentleman. Anyone can take a watch or a painting or a poem apart, piece by piece. It takes a devoted craftsman to put one together. Thomas Carlyle once said to Voltaire, "Have you only a torch for destruction? Do you not have a hammer to build?" Luke, the writer of Scripture, was a critic of the life of Christ, but he was also a grateful disciple. The level of gratitude which is such a blessing to others is above the level of critical analysis. It is not over against it, but gratitude has swallowed it up in something higher. A second consideration. Gratitude, or the lack of it, serves as a rather acid test of one's own character. Try to conceive, if you will, of Jesus or the Apostle Paul or Francis of Assisi, Augustine, Susanna Wesley, William Carey, David Livingston, Washington, Lincoln, people like these. Try to conceive of them as living apart from gratitude. This defies belief. Back in the year 1839, Benjamin Disraeli married. Of course, he later became Prime Minister of England. At the time he married, he was 33 years of age, and he married a woman who was 45. She was a widow, Mrs. Wyndham Lewis. His beloved Mary Ann, she became. Well, Mary Ann was a blundering sort, rather tactless, a person with very poor taste, most agreed. And yet, Disraeli would come home from political storms and tumult and find a great peace with her. There were those who wondered how he could bear this. And on one occasion, a friend dared to ask him about her, especially her frivolous conversation. Disraeli replied, when the friend asked him if he was not constantly annoyed by her, "Not at all. I hope I possess one quality in which most men are deficient: gratitude." Gratitude on this campus might well express itself in appreciation of the beautiful, comfortable facilities that you have here. Or again, for a comradeship in learning and of growth with other wholesome personalities. for a myriad of rare opportunities that a man or woman in China or India or some other part of the world would literally give his right arm to have. And so this day, December the 6th, 1967, for the beauty of the earth, for the love which from our birth, for the wonder of each hour, hill and vale and tree and flower, for the joy of human love, friends on earth and friends above, and preeminently in this season, for Christ our Lord, may we be grateful. Let us pray. Indeed, our God and our Father, grant this day, as we meditate upon thy goodness to us, and of the goodness that is all around us, in those we love and those who love us, that we shall indeed be grateful, and that so being we shall be more like thee. For Christ's sake, amen.